Hey there, boys, girls, and flying squirrels. My name's Joe Keyport, and you're listening to the Ear Coffee Podcast. For today's episode, I talked with the band Static Panic. Earlier this year, the band put out their EP Glow, a funky, sexy, and fun release that captured what they called Chapter 2 of the band and continues to be part of what is called the Bangers Club. If you haven't listened to this EP yet, go do that directly after listening to this episode, as your life is not better off by missing out. Anyway, it's Static Panic right here on the Ear Coffee Podcast.
Going. I'm joined by the members of Static Panic. How are you all doing today?
Doing fine.
Good.
Yeah. Been a productive day. How about you, Keston?
Oh, yeah, I worked, and now I'm tired.
Ain't that just the way?
Yeah. Me. It's just constantly me.
Yeah.
It's nice as fuck out right now, though.
It is really nice out.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be going away tomorrow, according to the news.
Yep.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. But, so
on the same day as Zombie Pub Crawl, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is really funny.
So you released Glow about a month ago as of recording this. I think it was yesterday was the 1 month.
Yeah.
How has the reception to that EP been like for you all?
Yeah, reception's been good. I think we got a couple of spots on some Spotify playlists that also really helped kind of push the promotional sides of things along. A couple of funk based playlists really kind of help spike the numbers, so it's been pretty good coverage, I'd say, across the board, all things considered.
Is our playlist something you really need to you've been focusing on with this one, just because that seems to be where a lot of the attention is driven to nowadays?
Yeah, I guess I would say, yeah, in terms of getting the highest numbers when it comes to promoting and grabbing attention, the playlists are definitely super helpful in terms of just reaching a broader audience, I think, for sure.
I'm interested because I learned about Static Panic from the local artist showcase that was thrown at First Ave in January, so now 10 months ago. How is that for the band, because showcases are always something where it can be a bit of a crapshoot when it comes to what you'll see and who you'll see and what you get thrown in with, just because you have everything from the band Scrunchies, which is a punk band, and we have you, which is just a funk and electronic music, and then the Carnegies. How is that for the band?
I thought it was awesome. I think that was kind of cool because a lot of people got to see us who wouldn't normally see us. So I think that we got to expand our audience a little bit to some newer demographics.
Yeah.
Also, for Static Panic, I don't think we fit any mold. Even if we do a record that has a certain vibe, the next one's going to be different because we just started out as being a very experimental, trying new things, opening new doors kind of group. So the mix benefits us because we also get to vibe out to what we don't get to play just yet. Mm-hmm. Something harder, something heavier, which we don't know what we're going to do for the record, but it's cool to be in an environment that has a bunch of different ebbs and flows in terms of genres and feels to, get the full encompassing idea of this is music, and you're just here to listen to music and connect.
And that set definitely felt I felt for us really embodied what that as a whole, because we had Anthony for the first time and Drew for the first time with us giving us more live elements, as well as the focus on just the eclectic mix of different sounds that we have going on, for sure. There's stuff that we did that night that we haven't done at a set before and probably won't do again.
Yeah.
So it was a very it was a very big keystone kind of point for us, I think, for sure.
And you mentioned, is Drew a full time member now? I know I saw on your Instagram page that back in March. So was Drew and you said Anthony, were they involved in the recording of this record?
Not a whole lot. Anthony was, Anthony kind of came in, like at the very, very tail end of the record and maybe made a suggestion or two, but like most of it was, has been us three for that second record.
Gotcha. I was interested to know how much everyone is involved, just because a lot of the in elements, and when you talked to Andrea Swenson of the current last year, mm-hmm. you mentioned how much Ro, you specifically worked as a DJ and kind of the more EDM and synthetic mm-hmm. elements, and how, and that was felt very much on Chrome. I was interested sure. to know how much the, like the guitar and the analog drums really mm-hmm. are used in a recording environment. I mean, the guitar is much felt much more was felt much more on Glow than it was Chrome. Mm-hmm. So was it all hands on deck then for Glow, or is it equal for both Chrome and was it?
I would say low key. That's because I've gotten better as a guitarist. I was on some different stuff.
I remember. We talked about this periodically. Remember?
Stubborn as hell. You were like not solo for the longest time, and I took pride in not being that lead guitarist that just jumps up to the front, steal the spotlight, and just fucking shreds till there's no tomorrow. And then I learned how, and then I realized how fun that shit is. So we put all that shit on Glow. Also, am I allowed to swear? Because I'm gonna not be able to speak at all.
No, you can go ahead. If the one, if this is the one time we get like an explicit notice, it's fine. I don't care.
Cool.
Were you then borrowing heavily from George Benson and a lot of those jazz guys?
I was working with a couple of old heads, old musicians, and one of them sat me down and he was like, he showed me a couple of different records, like something like the Yellow Jackets and a bunch of jazz, shreddy, kind of off the wall kind of stuff. And he's like, you got to know how to do this if you want to actually do this. Like, if you actually want to do this music thing as a guitarist, you need to be able to reach these horizons in terms of how well you play and how well you can play everything. So
I think we all really tried to like step it up in terms of the like just how tight everything was on this record. Like I think in terms of making sure that everything musically was like the full vision, as well as like having the more live elements, you know, of like the
definitely more organic than the first one.
Yeah, for sure.
Were you working with somebody to help tighten that up, or was this more between the three of you working together to try and take that next step from Chrome?
I mean, I guess we did drum tracking at Flower Studio. And that was really helpful to have, some outside help to kind of give us a better idea of what we're looking for when it comes to drum sounds, and adding those more live elements. Just because, like it's easier for me to sit at a computer and plug in samples and toss them around and loop whatever, but it's also really, really great to have those, like those little moments that you can't capture, tapping on pads and fixing things to grids.
Yeah, there's that cosmic nod of sorts that comes from doing things live almost.
Yeah, right.
A lot of the promo surrounding Glow paint the journey that came to it as kind of this transformation and growth for the band. So tell me about writing the material for this new record.
I think that one thing that I was really feeling a lot of was a lot of relatable feelings with this record. I think that was my main focus, was the idea of things, concepts that everybody could, find, like a situation everyone could find themselves in, like S, for example, is about receiving a risky text that
about sending.
Well, first it's about receiving. I guess you could also be a sender in that situation as well then. But yeah, just being caught in that situation is something I think everyone can kind of relate to. But you know, like the idea of seeking things greater than yourself and being all right with where you're at and like taking your time to kind of evolve as a person and you know, finding your own path in that, I think was something that was really, really big on my mind. I'm trying to think of other specific examples from that, but like, yeah,
it really,
it's the big grandiose, like, end all statement. Like when life is great, like, it really is like that. Yeah. When it's bad, it really is like that.
Just like, that's
how it is. Yep, that is how it is. Yep, for sure.
Yeah, because that was It Really Do Be Like That does feel like, not the, it was the song I did want to ask you about since you brought it up. I apologize, there are just dogs barking in the background.
No, it's okay.
No, it has that whole kind of off letting things go, or like just shrugging anything off, because it can be like, if it's going great, it really do be like that. And like in the beginning, you hint at some pain and frustration of the loss of a relationship or connection, and the fact that it's easy to almost let, if you're trying to like let it go or figure something out, again, that's just one of those like offhand, it really do be like that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I was finding myself in a lot of spots where I feel like I was like letting certain, like having to like admit to myself that there are certain things that I couldn't keep up with or could like had to let go. But also like things that I could be really excited about that like would fill the space for that. And like I'll continue to continue to grow and develop as a person. And like, you know, life goes on. Like, honestly, like there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that come and go in life, so I have to shrug it off.
Even if you don't go with it, it still goes on.
Yeah. That's true.
It is what it is.
Yeah, with Static Panic sound being kind of very 70s and 80s influenced, and you mentioned earlier that it's hard to put the band in a box just because you do everything from like the EDM and the synth and the dance kind of stuff, and you pull influences from like System of Down was thrown around in an interview one time.
Yeah,
it almost feels like
Back to the Club.
I swear we're gonna do
what taste is for me. Yeah. No one knows what taste is if you haven't come to a show, but yeah. taste is definitely like that.
I think that's the next song we gotta
like,
we gotta
nasty
drop.
Chromatic ass, like just blown out distorted guitar, like just weird as hell. Just yeah,
I'm excited for that.
Just
one.
the creation to create kind of vibe, because it reminds me of the not the Mesmerize record, but the Hypnotize record. Just goofy kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very.
Yeah.
Paints a picture.
System killed it. System was.
Yeah. So yeah. I think we're probably gonna end up doing like a System of a Down phone cover of something at some point. I think that'll probably end up happening. So.
Man, I really just want to do a cover band of System of a Down.
Yeah, that too.
System of a Brown. Just a bunch of brown kids in the band and going in.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's gotta happen.
Yes.
But I was the kind of the comparison to the Prince is naturally kind of thrown around in context of Static Panic, and I was wondering how you felt about that comparison, because
I could go in.
Yeah, I know. Kevin has.
I could go in.
Because I wanted to mention,
okay,
just
if I, okay, for me, I'm gonna say this as blunt as I can. The people who only compare us to Prince because we're funky, one, they probably haven't listened to that much Prince, and then two, they probably haven't listened to that many types of funk. Like, my guitar playing style isn't super fucking Princey. I pull way more shit from Funkadelic and Don Blackman and George Benson. Like, yeah. And George Benson even isn't even funky. He's just smooth as hell. So, Yes, maybe a couple of solos, but I can't solo like Prince. I'm not going to try, even though we have live and it's worked out like half the time.
I just don't, like, me personally, I don't have the gear that he had and, like, the sense that he had. Yeah, and, like,
none of the sounds, like, we're not losing muse and limb drums.
Yeah, and, like, yeah. Goals, and
we're not doing, like, super crazy.
Yeah. Things. So like, you know, we do it to, like, we have a cover of Let's Go Crazy in our rotation right now, because it's a crowd pleaser. It gives,
yeah, it's
gives
people great what they to want. It feels great to play. Not it's, to not.
It's fun. But you know, it's you know, I think at some point we'll probably evolve from you know, just being a funk slash electronic band at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be kind of cool to see where it goes. I'm excited.
Yeah, because I've always interested, as someone who tries not to, as a music writer, I'll call myself that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always find trying to pull comparisons like that seems not lazy, but people are comfortable with comparisons. But I'm just always interested when a band can get shoehorned, like sometimes you do, whether it's writing, how that kind of comes across to you all.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, to me, it doesn't really, like, it doesn't super bother me unless they, like, there's a, like, just kind of like a daft, like, in the air generalization about whatever's being written. Like, it's, like, if you're putting it so far in a box that it like, isn't, like, you know, a form of expression anymore, or like something other than just, you know, like something to be sold, I don't know. I think that's probably what would, like, bother me the most about, like, being put in a genre.
My thing is, even if we were trying, how in the hell would we keep up straight up? Any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, because you have your staples in that, and that's your form.
Okay,
because right?
We're on some chapter two shit right now. But people are comparing us to Prince chapter, like, 35.
Yeah.
Right? There's no way that we can do anything. We haven't had the hours. We haven't had the experience. We hadn't had the failures and ups and downs and everything in between to make him as good as he was by the time that people were like, oh, my God,
he's amazing.
He's a god.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I'm not, so, no. I can't feel that shoe.
Yeah. Right.
Size 10.
Well, since you have two EPs, kind of, do you consider Chrome an EP or is that an album? Since it's kind of almost in between.
It's an EP. You know, I've always said that's kind of like a. It's more of a compilation.
Okay.
In my opinion, like it's a lot of, like, it was a lot of, like, me messing around in the studio trying to figure out what vibes, what doesn't, like, what a band would look like if I were to create a band from, like, what I know about how to make music, basically. Mm. And so it was you know, a spot for me to express myself, but it was I was kind of in a much darker place when I was writing Chrome. So it definitely didn't feel like I as truly and fully got to express myself in the way that I wanted to, like I have with Glow, in my opinion. But yeah, I guess that's, you know, I would say that we're well on our way in terms of just like actually having fun and just like doing what music we enjoy performing as well.
We are trying to make a hit, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We are trying to do bangers only. Like, don't get me wrong. We are bangers only club. But, you know, like...
We want to be able to release a best of Static Panic album in 10 years.
I'm trying to get an Essentials playlist on iTunes in 7 months.
Playlist, but I don't do Greatest Hits albums.
Yeah.
Greatest Hits albums mean you're...
Let's do Essentials.
People forgot about you.
Yeah.
And now this younger generation needs to learn about you. So we're going to send out the Greatest Hits record.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah. Or you're dead. Okay. One of the two. I don't know.
Hard to say.
I mean, it's easy to say that. I feel like Glow is like four just straight bangers, just back to back.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with that for sure. Yeah.
So then, I know this is kind of early to say, given that Glow's only been out for a month. Are you working towards that kind of like that debut statement, since you've kind of solidified what you would consider Static Panic to sound like?
I think that as a collective group of songs, I think it completes what I wanted, like a picture that I to complete for the group, in a way that is, you know, like marketable, and a way that is like a way that is smart for where we're at in like our community in Minnesota as a whole, but also like as musicians, just things that like heights that we're capable of, and like, you know, just grabbing attention. Mm-hmm. I think was why we rolled with the bangers only at this moment.
Gotcha. And then just finally, what does the rest of 2019 and early 2020 look like for Static Panic, since you guys are kind of well on your way to doing something big?
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, in the next 2 months alone, we have one day we're playing both like Friday and Saturday, which is kind of cool. And then also another gig where we might be playing two gigs in one night, which is crazy. Cassie gave me this look like, wait a minute. Yeah. Two gigs in one night. Yeah. That's going to be crazy. We might be opening for, well, so.
Oh, wait. Was that my idea originally? And I totally thought that we said no on that, and I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. And then Mark was like, no, that's actually a really good idea. We should try it.
And see, Mark, you need to listen to me. That's what I'm saying.
We might be opening for Cherub at the main room, and then playing Girl Scout at the Varsity in the same night. So wow. That would be insane and amazing.
Police escort and everything.
Yeah,
you got it down. I'm not worried. You got this shit.
We have a lot of gigs coming up. This is actually kind of our best time of year, where a lot of a lot of hosts for events want us to like either generate playlists or like make, you know, just like make a bunch of noise for people and kind of like showcase our
Aria, I remember that.
Yeah, they kind of just like want us to like showcase like our queerness larger than life, and it's cool. You like, you know, it's fine, you know. I can't complain about the like free food, and they usually like treat us pretty well. Like it's always a lot of like free food and drinks, and only if it's on your rider, right?
Yeah. Peanut M&Ms, and chili Fritos, yeah,
some Takis. Those, I don't know, like
chili Fritos, peanut M&Ms.
Anthony will ask for some Black Cherry White Claw.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that, though.
You gotta find the really random, very niche thing for your rider just to really make a statement.
Yeah. I'm planning on eating a...
They did show up last time. Last time we played our first half, there were no peanut M&Ms, even though that's the only thing I asked for.
That's true. That is the only thing. Yeah. I remember you were upset.
I had them for like 2 weeks, and I was like, man,
I'm feeding for them.
For this show. And the security guard was on my ass about shit. So I got up there pissed as hell, but it was a great show. That Chromeo show was a great show.
That Chromeo show was fun.
That security guard did have it out for me, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat a salted nut roll on stage one of these days, because Harmar Superstar did, and I feel like it's got to be a thing.
A little homage.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's got to be a thing that like Minnesota front people have to do from now on. Like, it's a.
Where's the nut roll from? Siri, where's the nut roll from? I'm sorry. Where's the nut roll from?
Nero was born in.
She's not getting anything close.
Yeah.
It is Nero, ancient Rome, fifth and last Julio Claudian dynasty.
We love her.
He died in 68. It's good to know. Like the year 68.
Great.
like 0068.
Anyway.
Ah! Oh, shit. Okay.
But anyway, thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah. The Ear Coffee Podcast is a companion to the blog of the same name. If you like this episode, please leave us a rate and review so we can stand out among the other music podcasts. You can follow us at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Ear Coffee. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.